Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Center for Debate Negotiation here at Car Talk Plaza.
Unfortunately, there will be no debate between my brother and me, not I, of course, this week, due to the fact that we couldn't agree on a format for the debate.
Well, we each had a different idea of how the debate should take place.
Yeah, my brother's idea of a good debate is to have a pillow fight.
In the backseat of your Dodge Dart?
Absolutely. He wouldn't agree to it, though, because he said he didn't have his tetanus shot.
No, I wanted to have it out in Berman's office with the super soaker water guns.
Yeah, but since we couldn't agree to debate, I guess we'll just have to agree on everything.
I always agree with you. You're my older brother. You are more sage. You are wiser. You have more hair.
That's true. And that's enough to agree?
More hair does it. That's all,
that's it.
All you need.
Fine.
All right. Now, I know you have no mail to read.
I do. Here, this is from Dan Hartford. Actually, this came to us via the website. I'm tired. Yes, I'm tired. For several years, I've been blaming it on middle age, iron deficiency, lack of vitamins, air pollution, water pollution, saccharin, obesity, dieting, underarm odor, and a dozen other maladies that make you wonder if life is really worth living. But now I found out it ain't that. I'm tired because I'm overworked. Now, this is me. The population of this country is 250 million. 104 million are retired. That leaves 146 million to do the work. There are 90 million in school, which leaves 56 million to do the work. Of this total, there are 32 million employed by the government. That leaves 24 million to do the work. 5 million are in the armed forces, which leaves 19 million to do the work. Take from that the 18.7 million people who work for state and city government, and that leaves 300,000 people to do the work. There are 248,000 in hospitals, so that leaves 52,000 to do the work. There are 51,998 people in jails or prisons. That leaves just two people to do the work, you and me. And you're sitting there reading this. No wonder I'm tired. I love it.
I often call that a fairly accurate analysis of the situation.
That is really very good.
Don't you often feel that you're alone?
Yeah. Hey, I'm doing it all.
That yeah.
I'm carrying you, for one thing.
Well, I know.
He's not heavy, Father.
No, no. You know, I am heavy. I'm your brother, and I'm heavy. Now, if you'd like to call us with a question about your car, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello. You're on Car Talk.
Hi.
My
name's Michaela Simon, and I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Michaela?
Yes.
Now, Michaela, here's my problem.
Okay.
I know two Michaelas.
Uh-huh.
Now you, I know it's three. One of them spells her name A-E-L-A.
Yeah.
And the other one spells her name E-L-A.
Uh-huh.
And my question is, what's correct? Or are they both correct? Is it a matter of preference, style, or what?
Well, mine is spelled A-E-L-A.
Yeah, I've always thought that was the right way to do it.
But everyone else seems to spell it with an H. H-A-E-L-A.
Yes, M-I-C-H-A-E-L-A.
Right, like Michaela.
Michaela.
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
You mean you spell it M-I-C-A-E?
Yes.
Oh, that's yet a third spelling.
Yes.
Now I'm more confused than I was before. Okay, what's the question?
Okay, well, I was thinking of taking a course in basic car care at my high school. And, of course, I'd be the only girl, but that's fine.
Woman.
Only woman.
Come on.
And I was wondering if what your opinion is if it's going to do me any good in later on in life.
Oh, of course it will. You're going to get more dates than anybody in the place. I mean, the whole idea of taking courses like this is to be the only whatever you are, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a guy, you want to be the only guy. Then you got a chance of 20 other dates every time you go to class. So I think this is definitely a step in the right direction. I think your social life will improve tremendously, and I strongly recommend this course, whatever it is.
But I don't think it's going to give me that much information about how to work on my car.
What a chance to sell our book! I would forget this stupid course.
Just buy our book.
Go
right?
Buy our mediocre book. How much does the course cost?
It's free.
Oh. Well, Ash, if you wait long enough, our book will be in the bargain bin for a buck.
Well, we're giving our books away, too. No, I mean, why do you want to do this?
Well, there's other courses that I could take, and if I start it, then I have to finish it, and I don't want to waste my time if it's a waste.
No, I don't think it's a waste of time. I think it's beneficial. Even if you never work on your own car, it's great to know what stuff is, you know, what certain components do in the car and what they're called, so you can talk shop, so to speak, when you go to get your car fixed.
Yeah. But wait a minute. What are the other courses? I recommend two other courses.
Okay.
You're thinking of basic car care. The two that I always like are French cooking and working with Lexan.
Oh, my brother took working with Lexan 1 and 2.
1 and 2.
Plexiglass, right?
Yeah.
Plexiglass 1 and Plexiglass 2.
Lexan 2.
Right.
So I would recommend one of those as well.
He gave great Christmas presents that year.
You know those little...
I got 3 pairs of undershorts made out of plexiglass.
Made out of plexiglass. Now, what other courses are you considering?
Well, there's a pottery course.
Oh,
jeez. Yeah, so now we're talking. Pottery.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, and what else?
And there's an art course.
Yeah.
And what else?
Life drawing? Nudes?
Well, I don't know, but I think it's important to be able to draw somewhat also.
Yeah. Yeah.
She, you know,
I don't know. If you think...
If there's anything... Michaela, if there's anything I hate more than sports, it's artsy, craftsy junk. I mean, you're going to start making all those little chickens that you put hard-boiled eggs into. I mean, good God, doesn't the world have enough of those stupid things? Now,
take the car course. You will love it.
Okay.
No, there's a lot to be learned, and you won't be able to... You just can't imagine how much there is.
Okay.
And if you learn anything good, let us in on it.
All right, okay.
See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Peter from Mercer Island, Washington.
Mercer Island.
It's in the middle of Lake Washington, just to the east of Seattle.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's in a lake. It's not in the ocean.
That's right. It's Lake Washington is a huge lake to the east of Seattle, and Mercer Island is this little rock in the middle of it that I-90 runs through.
No kidding.
Oh, really?
And you live on it?
Oh, a lot of people do.
You live, like, under the overpass?
No, you know, up on a hill.
Cool. So what's up?
Well, I have a haunted Volvo, and that's why I'm calling. My 13-year-old son insisted that I call and get an exorcism over the phone.
Cool.
It's a 98 Volvo cross-country wagon. When it's cold, in other words, been parked overnight, and I start it and then back up and start moving in it, it gives off a noise that sounds kind of like, have you ever heard a theremin? You know, that old 1920s instrument that they used in horror movies and so on?
It sounds like boing.
More like, ooh.
Right,
oh,
right.
That thing.
Got it. I know exactly the sound.
Yeah, okay.
I've had it to the Volvo place twice. I've had them, you know, they've kept it overnight. They've been very nice about it. And they say they don't hear anything, and so there's nothing for them to fix. But my children, particularly my son, who's, you know, very sensitive to these things, has insisted we got to get this fixed because the noise is very audible when it happens.
And it happens when you're going forward?
Reverse. Or forward, as it happens when I start the car when it's cold, I'm in my garage, so I'm generally backing up.
And as you're backing up, you're hearing the noise.
That's right.
And then when you put it into drive and go forward, it continues making the noise.
That's right, and after a, you know, a minute or two, it's gone.
Ooh! make the noise again?
Well, it's kind of like, ooh, you know, it's kind of a cross between a theremin and a sick dog, or maybe a sick ghost, one or the other.
Do you use the handbrake when you park?
Yes.
That's what it is.
You do.
I think the emergency brake is sticking.
Really?
And that's why you only get it for those first few seconds. And that explains why they didn't get it, because they left it parked overnight, and they didn't put the handbrake on.
All right, see, I thought you were going to send me to a, you know, a priest or something for an exorcism.
No. We
can
charge
do...
for that.
We can do an exorcism if you really get your heart set on it. But I don't think it's going to help.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And I don't think it's necessary. I think I'd save it for more dire circumstances. But I think you have either a sticky brake caliper or you have a stuck emergency brake or just an emergency brake that's hanging up. And I would just say refrain from using the brake the next few times you park and see if, in fact, the noise goes away. If it does, then you can tell them to pull. This car has a separate emergency brake, which is like a drum brake in the rear. And I suspect the noise is coming from the back wheels.
And if it doesn't make any difference when you leave off the handbrake, then it's probably a caliper, and I would have them take a look at the calipers.
All right.
But the noise sounds relatively benign.
You know, it sounds benign but spooky.
It's just the nature of it that makes you, because it sounds like the theremin.
Right. Well, thanks, guys.
Hey, Peter, I hope we're right.
Well, if not, maybe I'll get to be on Stump the Chumps.
Maybe. See you later.
Okay,
I'm sure you'll get on Stump the Chumps if we're not right, because that's what Louis' job is.
Right, that's the only criterion for being
Find
on Stump the Chumps.
Find all the people that they gave the wrong answer to.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK, that's 888-22-78. 255-7481.
Hello, you got it. Hi, this is Jackie.
Hi, Jackie. How are
Jackie.
You?
Jackie.
Jackie in Portland, Oregon.
So it must just be good old C-K-I-E, right?
It is. None of that
None
fancy
of those C-Q-I-Y-Z.
Yeah, no.
I know. It's so silly.
It is. I like the way I spell my name.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So what's up?
Well, I had a really cute little Honda Civic 5-speed that I got a couple months ago, and I couldn't get over being terrified of driving a stick and, like, planning my route. Like, how can I get where I'm going without stopping on a hill? So I went ahead and sold that car, which was a great car, and I got a little Ford ZX2.
Oh.
And the problem is, the car came wearing this cute little black bra.
Yeah.
And I really like how it looks.
From Victoria's Secret.
Victoria's Secret, right. It's
yeah,
so cute.
They sell that. It's on page 31. I happened to see it just today.
Yeah, specially made for the
ZX2. Escort.
Yeah. And I like how it looks, but I don't know if it's okay to wash. I haven't washed this car, and I've had it for almost 2 months, because I don't know if I should take the bra off it when I wash it, but I'm afraid if I take it off, I won't be able to get it back on. So I have a bra problem.
Oh, Jackie.
Well, what does your instinct tell you?
Well,
I mean, what would you do? Never mind.
Never mind. You know, I started to say I've never had a bra on a car, and I've never really understood the purpose of them. Although I know what the expressed purpose is, it just seems so damn silly to me. I can't believe it. And I would guess, first of all, I mean, if it rains, you don't take the thing off.
Yeah,
so you
but
take
it's
it through
not
the
like
car
being
wash
pressure and you know soap and everything.
No, but if you're gonna wash the thing, you want to get all the grime and grit out of there. It's like taking a shower with your underwear.
What? You don't do that? That way you wash your underwear. That way you never have to change your underwear.
Yeah, but you're always.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
But it takes 3 hours before you can get dressed.
You gotta run around the house.
Run around the house, stand in front of the fans.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what I was thinking. It would feel a little soggy, but then I thought, I'll never get the thing back on.
No, you won't get it back on either, and that's what you should do. You should take it off, wash the car, and throw that stupid thing away.
That's what my boyfriend said, and I said, no, but I like how it looks.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do.
What's wrong with you?
Well, it's just, normally I don't like them, but this car, because it breaks it up, because it's this sage color, and it's got this black bra, and
yeah.
It's really kind of cute.
Well, I wonder how much the thing costs.
Oh, a lot.
Yeah, I bet, yeah.
Like what? $100?
Well, yeah, I'm sure it does.
I mean, if you go through the car wash once, the thing is not going to fall apart. You might be able to go through the car wash 5 or 6 times.
Well, you got to worry about shrinkage.
Just on a low, you know, a low setting, yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Will it hurt my car?
Oh,
I mean,
it won't hurt the
car.
It won't hurt the car, except that if you did it for many times, water would certainly get trapped between the car and the bra.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I mean,
Well, you may have to contact the bra manufacturer to see what they have to say. I mean, so there must be some literature about this someplace.
I have tried to find it, and I've had no luck. I've even sat around in my car close to another car, like a fancy, expensive car that has a bra on it, waiting, like in a big store,
waiting
for somebody to come out and say, aha, what do you do?
That's
but
exactly
I
what I was
going to
suggest. I mean, I'm sure that there must be many of our listeners who have. Maybe not. Maybe not. I was thinking
that it's really a dorky thing, huh?
Well, it's a BMW thing, you know.
Oh, okay.
And quite honestly, the people that had the real high performance cars. I mean, come on, yours really isn't the high performance car.
Yeah, it's an automatic.
Yeah, and an automatic to boot. Must chuckle a little bit when they see you go by and say, "Oh God, she should take that thing off."
Well, here's what I would suggest: if it were my car, I wouldn't want to have to go through this agony. And angst, among other things. And I would, even though you like the look of it, I would take the thing off. and paint one on.
There you go.
That way you get the look. No one will know.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry when you go through the car wash.
Now that's an idea.
There you go.
There I go. I guess all my problems are solved.
See you, Jackie.
Good luck, Jackie.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, look it. I have a question I haven't asked you in a very, very long time.
And I know what it is. Do I remember last week's puzzler?
No. Do you have the $20 you owe me from last week? No, you're right. Do you remember the puzzler? Okay, I'll lead you into it. This is the fill in the blank.
All right, go ahead.
One of the signs that you're getting old is you find yourself moaning about how everything was better in the blank.
The Ming Dynasty.
No, I was looking for the good old days.
Oh, the good old days.
Try this one. Coming home to a nice home-cooked meal is something you blank.
Would like to experience sometime in my lifetime. You let me down the path there. You know I'm going
to get in trouble. No, the answer I was looking for is look forward to.
Forward to.
The puzzler was about something old geezers used to look forward to in the good old days, and I'll have the answer in just a minute. Got out really early from the factory, driving like a nutter in the rain. I don't think I was acting so hysterically, but I didn't see a thing until it came. Met the dumpster bubbles in the takeaway, beating up the Chinese.
And even though King Kong snaps a bunch of broadcast antennas off the top of the Empire State Building whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from Car Talk and NPR sponsor BetterHelp, a truly affordable online counseling service. Fill out a questionnaire online and get matched with a licensed counselor best suited to your mental health needs. Whether it's depression, anxiety, or trauma, BetterHelp will help you overcome what stands in the way of your happiness. Learn more at BetterHelp.com and get 10% off your first month with promo code CARTALK. BetterHelp. Get help anytime, anywhere. This message comes from CARTALK and NPR sponsor R&T, a new collector's edition magazine for the automotive enthusiast that delivers immersive stories, striking visuals, and deep dives on new cars and future classics. Plus, you're invited to join the R&T Track Club, where you'll be granted access to exclusive events, virtual experiences, perks, promotions, automotive adventures around the world, and much, much more. To join the club and live the drive, visit rodentrack.com/join.
Activist Aaron Dorr tells his flock of pro-gun followers on Facebook that he's tirelessly fighting for their Second Amendment rights. But if that's true, why do so many pro-gun Republicans hate him so much?
Aaron Dorr is a scam artist, a liar, and he is doing Iowans no services and no favors.
Find out on the No Compromise podcast from NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
I can hardly wait.
And this puzzler was inspired by an email I got from a guy named Dave Trayers, I think.
And does that mean like you stole it from him?
Well, of course. Anyway, here it is. Last week, I was sitting at a restaurant, and at the table next to me were two old geezers chatting away about the good old days, lamenting how all modern cars look the same and going on and on about how much they missed their old cars and how much they hated their new cars. At some point, I had to place my order, and I kind of lost track of the conversation. And when I tuned back in, I heard one of them say, "Oh, yeah, I missed that, too." And the other one chimed in, "Gee, so do I. I used to look forward to seeing that every year or so in my own car." The first one says, "Geez, I kind of look forward to seeing it too. Do you see it in your new car?" The second guy says, "No, no way. Not likely to see it the way I drive either."
Yeah.
And the question is, what the heck were they talking about? What is it that you could see pretty much every year in your older car, but you wouldn't see in modern cars, at least not for a long time?
A broken water pump. I used to look forward to that broken water pump all the time. No. Am I wrong? Am I right?
No, you're close. Did I get it? You don't realize how close you are. No, what they lamented not seeing was all the digits on the odometer reading the same. Back in the old days, your odometer would read five digits. So it would go up to 99,999, and then it would flip to all zeros. But just about every year, assuming you drove 11,111 miles, you would see all ones. And then the next year, you could see all twos and all threes.
Yeah.
But with newer cars having six-digit odometers, you're not going to see that until you get to 111,111 miles. And you may only see it once in the time that you own the car. It's pretty sad.
If you're lucky enough to live that long.
And the way these old guys are driving 700 miles a year, they're never going to see it. So who's our winner?
Wow. The winner, the first winner of the new Puzzler season is Roger Cook from Burlington, Vermont. You know that I went to UVM in Burlington? Anyway, for having his answer selected at random from the El Camino full of correct answers that we got, Roger is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division, with which he can get our best-selling CD, Car Talk Cartoons. It is the Car Talk Compendium of Disrespectful Car Songs.
This is a collection of what? Songs about heaps and bad mechanics and bad drivers.
And trashing rental cars. You know, real songs about cars. None of this 409 stuff.
Yeah.
You've heard some of these songs during our show when we go to the break. But now we have a collection of our favorite funny car songs. And Roger Cook, you can get one from the Shameless Commerce Division. Congratulations. Of course, they're $25 and a nickel.
9 cents. Anyway, we'll have a new...
Automotive or non? Let's start right from there.
Definitely not
non-automotive. Not even quasi-master.
No, this is a baseball algebraic puzzler coming up in the third half of today's show from the series of baseball puzzles, many of which I've used over the years.
Wow.
So keep listening. In the meantime, you can call us and ask questions about your car at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Andy from Seattle.
Hi, Andy from Seattle.
I've got a 1986 Mazda pickup, and a couple of weeks ago, the truck overheated several times, and in the end, I wound up cooking the engine. And I'm trying to figure out, and I'm trying to figure out if it's worth fixing. Now, I've priced the parts and thought about what I might...
The parts? There's only one part.
Well,
engine.
Yeah, the engine. And I'm considering what I myself might accomplish in my, or might attempt in my driveway. My working theory now is that if I can get away with just replacing the head, it's worth it in this truck. If I have to replace the whole engine, it's not going to be worth it.
How many miles are on this beast?
197,000.
197. Mm-hmm. And when you say you cooked it, what happened? Did, like, the little thermometer pop out?
Yeah. It overheated once, but the temperature gauge didn't go up. Idiot lights didn't go on. Just steam from under the hood. I opened the hood. There was a coolant line blown. I replaced the coolant line. I drove another 45 minutes. It did it again, different hose.
Okay.
And you would think at this point I would have stopped. But third time's a charm, and that time it just totally lost power, nothing. And there was no compression through a couple of the cylinders. I pulled the head, and sure enough, the head was both warped and cracked.
Cool.
But the engine cranks.
The engine cranked fine. It was just nothing that was there. No compression in a couple cylinders.
So you've probably melted the valves. And well, the very you got to replace the head anyway. So you want to go to the junkyard.
So you priced the head.
Right.
A head. You priced like a new head and valves and all that stuff?
No.
Junkyard.
No, I actually found a great junkyard here in Seattle that lets you go out and pull the parts yourself. And I already got the head. $30.
Get out of town.
So I'm not too deep in now.
Yeah, I think you take a chance.
Absolutely.
Now, if you wanted to, if you were energetic, you could replace the rings.
How would he even know?
Oh, what do you mean? Oh, You've got the head off already. Right? It's just a simple matter.
It's just another month to get to the rings.
I believe on this truck you can take the oil pan right off. And then you're looking at, you ready for this, Andy?
Yeah.
You're looking at the bottom of the connecting rods, and you're 8 little nuts away from having the pistons out of the block. There are just 2 nuts on each connecting rod.
Right.
And you take off the bottom cap, and you push the pistons up with a broomstick, and one by one, pop, 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 they pop out. And then you're going to go and buy a cylinder hone.
Yeah.
Everyone needs one of those.
A ring compressor.
A ring compressor and a set of rings.
This is a lot of tools.
Well, I mean, you obviously love the truck. You've driven it for 197,000 miles, and had this not happened, you'd drive it forever, right?
The truth is, you would not have had the opportunity to replace the rings.
And I think you're going to be disappointed if you put the head on and you don't do rings.
Rings is a nice little job to do.
And you'll learn new skills. And what better vehicle to learn them on than one that you're ready to junk anyway?
Yeah, the expense, I mean, the expense is minuscule. Unfortunately, the rings are going to cost you more than the head and all the valves together.
Well, yeah, it's I got the head for $30, and the gasket set is going to be $150.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the rings are going to be another $150, and an oil pan gasket. It's going to cost you about $2,500. You know, but when this is all done, you will have done a ring job.
Man.
I mean, not many can say that.
How many people, when people say, how's your truck? You can say, well, I just did the head and the ring job. And everyone will, I mean, are you married?
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
It's too bad.
Women will be throwing themselves
at you. Women are going to be throwing themselves at you. When they found out that you replaced the head and did the rings.
Oh.
Well, I mean, maybe your own wife will just go nutsy over it.
Yeah, you'll be the hero at the water cooler. You'll have to fend them off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll look forward to that.
All right, go for it, man.
Yeah.
See you later.
The benefits derive, only a small percentage of the benefits derive from having a truck that runs. The rest of it is your self-esteem and your reputation.
And the folklore.
Of Andy from Seattle.
There you go. Getting to 200,000 is going to be treat enough, I guess.
Yeah, you may just about do that.
Well,
it blows up.
You got your own priorities. I know what mine would be.
See you later, Andy.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Good luck.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Gary, Salisbury, Maryland.
Hi, Gary.
Salisbury, Maryland.
All right.
I was in Salisbury, Maryland only recently.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, why didn't you say stop and say hi?
Well, because you didn't leave me a phone number.
Well, I was right here waiting for you at the front door.
What's going on, Gare?
Hey, I got a Grand Marquis.
Yeah?
Okay, I got one of those check engine lights. The first time it happened, my wife and I, we stopped. I raised the hood, and I told her, well, there's the engine, but I don't know where else to look. So I checked the oil.
Yeah.
So I don't know why it keeps coming on.
How many miles are on this beast?
Oh, about 97 good miles.
If I had to guess with 97,000 miles on it, I'd say it could easily be one of the inexpensive sensors, like an oxygen sensor or a throttle position sensor or something like that, because those things do wear out. The throttle position sensor is basically a potentiometer that changes the signal going to the computer as you open and close the throttle. So you could imagine after 97,000 miles, the thing could have a spot on it that's worn out, and that would be enough to set the check engine light. If the light's coming on, for example, after extreme high-speed driving, it could be a bad oxygen sensor.
Uh-huh.
So you need to go and have it scanned. Your shop will hook up a scanner to it, and the scanner will take information that's been stored in the computer and tell the scanner, or the scanner will be able to extract the information about what's wrong with your car.
Yeah, and it'll flash a code, and the code will tell the person reading the device what is wrong.
And the sooner you go to the shop after the light has come on, the better. For example, if the light comes on tomorrow morning, try to get to the shop that afternoon while the code is still in memory.
Because it's easy for them to do this. I mean, at least they can figure out what it is, and you'll know whether to even bother fixing it.
Well, that sounds great.
And if they tell you there are no codes stored, then you don't have to really worry about it. You can wait until it gets worse or it impairs the performance, but I wouldn't sweat it.
Okay, thank you.
Enjoy it.
Right. So So you guys have a good day, will you?
We will. You take care.
Thanks,
thank
Gary.
Thank you very
Bye-bye.
Much. All right, bye now.
Bye-bye. Hey, you know what time it is?
Time to move the oil change bay to the Florida Keys?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chump. This is the part of the show where we dig up a caller from a previous show to see if our advice was reasonable, seasonable,
or treasonable. Who's our lucky player?
It's Victoria from California by way of Eugene, Oregon. Do you remember her? No, I don't either.
No.
Victoria called us last January. She needed to buy 3 used cars for her 3 college-aged kids. To complicate matters, Victoria was going back to get a business degree herself, so money was an issue.
The boys live in California, and sometimes to get to work, they have very long drives. They might have to go to San Francisco, and they live south of Santa Cruz.
So how many of those are there?
We'll start at 1. They can work together.
Oh, they go to school together?
Yes, they do. They even live together.
Oh, so boy 1 and boy 2 could have the same car?
That's right.
Then do boy 1 and boy 2 look alike?
They do.
Jeez, why maybe, are you maybe, paying 2 tuitions?
Exactly. Maybe they can get by with 1 tuition. One can go to class
Thank
one day.
Of other... course. Just one of them signs up.
You got it.
Yeah.
And it's half duty for everybody.
Jeez, why didn't I think of that? Well,
and when they finally graduate,
yeah,
they'll each have half a job.
Hey, it worked for us.
So did we give Victoria, like, any real advice?
We did. Our advice was that she buy used Volvo 240s and that she forget about the business degree and consider a career in floral design instead.
Oh, I remember now. Yeah, this sounds helpful. Okay, let's see how we did. Victoria, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, I am.
Look, before we find out what happened, we need to confirm that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
Correct.
And that the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or those 4 gold-plated pen and pencil cents that we sent you?
Oh, thank you.
So anyway, did you take our advice?
You know, I took it more deeply and seriously than you can imagine.
Oh, really?
Really?
The bottom line is, I didn't get the cars, but I didn't go to business school.
You didn't?
In the conversation, I had explained also that I'm primarily an artist.
Yes, I remember this now.
You know what? I gave up the idea of business school. I sold the house that I had in Eugene. I've moved to California, and I am a successful painter and sculptor.
Wow!
Yes.
Yippee!
Wow, and you're not even dead yet.
No, not even.
Victoria,
no, not
that's
even.
Great news.
Yes. So, you know, I've decided that, yes, you do give some good mechanical and auto advice.
But you're not going to, but you didn't take it.
Well, I just didn't get them a car, period. We made a decision as a family.
Yeah.
That, you know, this was just going to be a great move. Ma, if you ever want to be a stellar example for us, then you should follow your dreams. And that will
wow.
be the greatest incentive to us.
What
I am so happy. And I want to tell you guys, when you said that to me, it was just one of the little light bulbs, one of those profound moments that you hear advice from a rock, you know, out there.
So what kind of stuff do you do?
I do a large oil paintings that are very scenic. I do a lot of representational work.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
That means it looks like stuff.
Oh.
So you know what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
true to life stuff.
That's sort of
yeah,
good, isn't it?
True to life stuff. Yeah. It works for me. What can I say?
And when you say you're successful, that means you sold something?
That's right.
Get out.
That's right. I didn't say that I was already in the black.
No, but that's all right.
And your kids are going to school so that if you really run into hard times, you can live with them.
Yeah, right.
When they're successfully employed.
So you've had shows and stuff?
Yes.
Good yes. for you, Victoria. Send us some pictures.
Oh, I'll do that. I've got a scanner. I can email you some things.
Cool.
That would be great.
No problem.
Well, we're so happy.
Well, I am so happy, too. You know, I'm sure the Volvo would have been great. But to tell you the truth, I couldn't find the Volvos in the price range that I was looking for. The 240s, apparently, are well kept.
They're a hot commodity.
Yeah,
they're tough to find.
Well, anyway, don't forget, if this art career doesn't pan out, floral design is still beckoning.
Okay, thank you.
See you, Victoria. Hey,
thanks for playing Stump the Chumps.
Yeah, you did a great job, guys.
Bye bye.
Thanks.
Boy, oh boy. I guess our job here is done. I mean, our work here is done.
Yeah,
we've gotten Victoria on the got her on the right track in her life. We can just quit.
We could just loaf now. What have we been doing for the last 20 years?
Well, anyway, if you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chubbs, email us your suggestions from cartalk.com.
Okay, Tommy, it's getting to be that time of the show again.
Is this when the NPR commissary sends up some Darjeeling tea on a silver serving tray? Is that the time?
No, we're getting served during this break, but it's the NPR legal department that's doing the serving.
Well, with counsel's permission, we'll be back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute. Little hyenas complain we give laughing a bad name whenever they hear us say it. This is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Kay Buxbaum in support of the David Gilkey and Zabiula Tamana Memorial Fund, established to strengthen NPR's commitment to training and protecting journalists in high-risk environments.
With the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the president is hoping to fill the seat with a conservative judge.
And evangelicals who play an important part in American politics have been waiting for this moment.
But how did evangelicals become such a powerful force?
Listen now to the history of evangelicals on the Throughline podcast from NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, end of the new, what did I say, algebraic...
Algebraic baseball puzzler, you said.
I did?
Actually, you said it the other way. From the baseball algebraic series of puzzlers.
Oh, but that was rather brazen of me.
Rather brazen? I've been on tenterhooks. What is a tenterhook? And why would I want to be on one?
You wouldn't want one on your keister out there. Here it is.
Yeah.
Now that the baseball season is in its waning days, I'm going to use this. And I've used many baseball puzzles in the past.
Yes.
As you might guess, I'm a baseball fan.
Yeah.
There are two rookie players who started the season on opening day and made a wager as to which one would have the best batting average at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both standing there. It's the last game of the season. And not much is going to change that last day, especially considering neither one of them is in the starting lineup. And they're and they're watching the other players take batting practice. Mm-hmm. And we'll call these guys, for the lack of something better, Bluto and Popeye.
Got it.
So Bluto says, "Hey, Popeye, what did you bat for the first half of the year?" Mm. And Popeye says, "Batted 250. And Bluto says, "Well, I got you there. I batted 300.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "How about after the All-Star break? What'd you do then?" Proudly, Popeye pops up and says, "I batted 375.
Wow.
He says, "Pretty good, but I batted 400. Fork over the $20 that we bet."
Mm-hmm.
So there are several questions here.
So let me get these numbers down.
Oh, again. You do?
I got it in the pencil. You got Bluto and Popeye.
So for the first up to the All-Star break, Bluto bats 300.
Yeah.
And Popeye bats 250.
250. Yeah.
After the All-Star break,
yeah,
Bluto bats 400.
Yeah.
Popeye bats 375.
And you're going to tell us that Popeye wins the bet.
No. The bat boy, Dougie, saunters over and says, "Don't pay the $20, Popeye. I think you won." How could that be?
Whoa!
And how many times did they hit him with the bat? And why is someone that batted 375 not playing in the last game of the season? That's what I want to know.
Injuries.
By the way, I want to add this. Just, it might help or it might not help. They both had the same number of at-bats for the season. Go figure. Now, if you think you know the answer, you would send that answer on a postcard or sew it to the bottom of a Tempur-Pedic Swedish foam memory mattress and pillow.
And pillow, yeah.
Actually, we'll take just the pillow. And send it to Puzzler Tower, two pillows, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer from cartalk.com, 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Barbara from South Portland, Maine.
What's up, Barbara?
Well, the car's running great.
Yeah, good. Okay.
Okay.
Nice talking to you. Bye.
No. I need your help. We have a new driver. We have a young man with a permit in the house.
Oh.
And a couple weeks ago, you gave somebody else some great advice about keeping the car running for a number of miles and being nice to it. And I used that to get the new driver to stop a bad habit before it got too far. And so I wanted to call up and get some more good ideas.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Like what?
Well, we have 2 5-speed cars.
Yeah.
So I think he's using the clutch too much. And when we stop at a stoplight, he takes the car out of gear and puts it in neutral.
He should?
Yes.
Yeah.
I should?
You should too.
You should too.
He probably learned that.
I'm never going to live this down.
In driver's ed.
Wait.
In driver ed, they only hit automatics.
Well,
wait, do you have, are these two new drivers male, female,
no,
or what?
One new driver,
one
two
new
cars.
Driver. Please, don't wish any.
Oh, one new, male or female driver?
Yeah.
He. It's a he. So we got a 17-year-old he,
mm-hmm.
And we got a mother who's 15 years older than that, so you're
right.
30. Okay. And you got 2 5-speed Japanese cars. Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah. So
he takes his foot off, he puts his foot in the clutch and takes it out of gear when he's at a traffic light.
Mm-hmm.
And what would you do at a traffic light? Leave it in first with your foot on the clutch?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that's not good because when you do it.
Wait.
Yeah.
I keep listening to you and I thought you said to not use the clutch.
See, well, this is a complicated issue because evidently every time we say something, someone hears
it
and takes it out of context or doesn't hear the whole thing. For example, a couple of weeks ago, someone called and asked us if he ought to put the car into neutral when he came to a stoplight and he had an automatic transmission. Our answer to him was, no, leave it in drive. So if it's an automatic transmission, you leave it in drive. If it, however, is a manual transmission as you have in these two cars, you should put it in neutral because sitting there with your foot on the clutch isn't good for the clutch.
Well, it isn't bad for the clutch per se. It's bad for the clutch release bearing.
Right. A piece of the clutch is being worn out when you have your foot on the clutch. The only time the clutch is not being worn out is when your foot is off of it.
Okay.
So whether you're moving or stopped.
What's your son's name?
Mo.
Mo. We want to give a round of applause to Mo for beating out his mother. Yay, out of the way, Mo!
You can deal with him.
Now what are you going
to
do?
Tell him not to get a swelled head over this. He's probably doing 25 other things wrong.
Right.
Well, what I'll probably do is say, I sit corrected.
Yes.
Either that or don't tell him you called.
No, you have to tell him, Barbara, because he's going to notice that you're doing just the opposite of what you had been doing.
And I'm also going to be not carping at him for doing.
Yes. So what happened, Mom?
Right.
So,
well, you know, I think
be big about this and fess up.
I think it is healthy for children to know that their parents can make mistakes. Because, I mean, my poor kids, I mean, they go through life thinking of me as a god because I practically am. I mean, I've never made a mistake in all my life.
Well, that's why his kids walk around all saying, oh, my God.
I mean, think about what's going to happen if the kids grow up always thinking that their parents are perfect.
Right.
They should learn that parents, too, are almost human, just like we think teenagers are almost human.
Right, parents are people, too.
Well, hardly.
Good luck, Barbara.
Hey,
hope you can
luck.
Live this
Thanks,
down.
Guys.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, it's Matt. I'm from Los Angeles.
Hi, Matt.
How you doing?
Good.
What's up?
Well, here's my story.
Yeah.
One evening, I live here in L.A., as I said, and I was driving home on the freeway. I drive a Volvo 850 Turbo. I'm driving along, and it's 10:30 in the evening, but it's still pretty crowded in Los Angeles at 10:30 in the evening on freeways. And all of a sudden, shrapnel or something just starts flying all around the car. And
that's L.A. for you.
Was I driving in front of you?
Yeah. It's like a war zone, and we're all these cars on the freeway are trying to avoid this stuff, and it's just blowing all over the freeway. and I hit kind of glancing blow on the right side of what looked like some sort of car part laying on the freeway. And immediately had a flat, what appeared to be a flat tire, pulled over onto the side of the freeway, get out of my car, and I look up and down the freeway. There must have been, it turned out the police told me, about 45 cars pulled over by all this debris. What had happened was a big flatbed truck loaded up with crushed cars was loaded up a little too high, and when it went under the underpass,
Sheared off the top car.
One of the cars got sheared off. It just completely disintegrated on the freeway.
Oh, great.
The amazing thing is that no one was hurt. No one collided with anybody else. Just everybody had a lot of damage from running into these, you know, car parts. What was amazing, what was incredible, was that I got my police report in, got my car loaded up onto a flatbed, and it's 11:30 and I'm heading home.
Cool.
I'm thinking I'm one of the luckiest guys in the world, right?
Yeah.
And it looked like the only thing that really happened to my car was that I had these two flat tires, plus my rims had been pretty badly, you know, damaged and broke from the...
Sounds like there's more to the story, however.
There is more to the story. This isn't it. So I'm talking to the guy. We're going home. We're having a very nice conversation. I really think this is one of the nicest tow truck drivers I've ever met. And we get near my house. We turn a corner, and I'm just talking, have a nice conversation. The car, the truck kind of bounces as we go around the corner. I turn around, look behind, look at my car to see if it's okay, and it's not there.
F-O-T! F-O-T!
And you never noticed?
So I tell the guy, finally, I go, I think you dropped my car somewhere back behind us here. And, you know, I've never seen a guy turn so white in my entire life. I mean, he's turning it around. So you turn around.
How far did you have to go before you found it?
A quarter mile. He dropped it in the intersection where I felt that bouncing. That was obviously from the car taking.
And it actually fell off the truck.
Yeah, it did a belly flop right in the center of a major intersection in Manhattan Beach, which is where I live. and we went back there, and sure enough, it was sitting there. It literally had landed right on its belly. It didn't flip over. It didn't appear to do anything other than that. It just came right off the truck.
Oh, man.
So aside from the fact that this would be a great law school question for who's really which insurance company is responsible for all the damage, you know, my question is, and what I'm trying to deal with, I'm an insurance company hill right now. I'm trying to get the insurance company to total this thing because from my way of thinking, you know, when a car takes a 5-foot drop off a flatbed, I mean, how can the car ever be expected to drive properly? So that's my question.
A moving flatbed, no less.
What should I be doing? What should I be doing to try to see if I can get it totaled? Is that a justifiable argument to make to the insurance company? And
I think I can speak from personal experience.
You've dropped a lot of them.
This matter, but I have dropped a car from 5 feet.
Yeah, 5 feet is a lot.
5 feet totals them. At least from my experience.
No, but you dropped it on its head. This thing landed on its feet.
Well, that was the first one landed on its side. Subsequent ones have landed belly down. So
belly down.
Yeah, no. Your 5 feet's bad.
I think so.
I mean, you're going to have to get it to a frame shop.
Right.
Because what will determine whether or not it's been totaled is whether or not the frame is bent beyond the point where it can be straightened.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're really not set up to straighten frames that have been bent from the bottom like this, they may have a difficult time getting the thing to the point where it's alignable.
Right.
Frames usually bend left to right, or right to left, but not down to up.
Right.
Yeah, you need to take this thing to the Volvo dealer and get a letter from them that says, Matt's car is done for.
Right.
Send him a check.
Now, is a Volvo dealership, do they have a frame shop?
They'll send it out. What they will do is they will have their guys look at it first.
Right.
And then if they have any doubts, they'll send it out, and they'll be the most credible, too.
Right.
But if you take it to Joe Blow's frame shop, they may not believe him. They may believe you paid him off.
Right.
Now, you can try paying off the guys at the Volvo dealership. I mean, that's been known to work. You know. But in lieu of that, I mean, telling them that when you get the check from this one, you'll be ready to buy another Volvo because you loved it.
Right.
They will love that news.
Which actually, I do love the Volvo. It's been a great car. So.
It is a great car.
Yeah.
And even if you had been in it, you probably wouldn't have been hurt.
Yeah.
Not if it had the 2x4s in it.
Jeez, what a tale to tell your grandkids.
Boy, that's good. You look out the window and the car is God.
The first thought I actually had was that maybe I blacked out and that maybe we actually dropped the car off somewhere.
Yeah.
You had fallen asleep, yeah, and you were home in your driveway, and
that's right.
He was waking you up saying, "Matt, we're here."
That's right. There had to be some logical explanation other than the fact that the car actually fell off somewhere.
Yeah, because that was just so improbable. That falling.
And about the insurance. I mean, obviously, the tow truck driver's insurance is covering this, right?
Well, no. You know, actually, I will tell you this. What's amazing is, I won't mention the name of the insurance company. What's amazing to me is that
they're almost all a bunch of no good, unscrupulous sleazeballs.
In my opinion.
what they're trying to do? They're trying to pin most of this damage
on the truck.
On the truck that blew, yeah, that lost the car on the freeway.
Aww.
Right. And if that had...
That's bull. See,
they can sue Coronado, because if he hadn't come from Spain to explore that whole area and stake that out for the Spaniards, California wouldn't be called California, and you wouldn't live there.
That's right.
I mean, how far back can you go? No, it's the fault of the guy that hooked up the truck incorrectly.
Of course.
It's clearly his fault.
What did I just say? In my opinion, in a bunch of no-good, unscrupulous sleazeballs.
Well, my feeling about this is you sue everybody.
That's it. You know what to do? Tell them either they give you a check tomorrow, or you're going to start having personal injuries. You're going to start getting nervous about the nightmares that you've been having. I've been having nightmares about the car falling off, and I'm in it.
It's intentional.
Right, ever since this has happened, you're ready for this? I've had the nightmare, recurring nightmare, that I'm driving my car off a cliff. I can't sleep anymore.
I can't even drive anymore.
Yeah, I can't go to work anymore.
I'm incapable.
Oh, Matt, you're in Fat City, man. You are in Fat City.
This is it.
I told you guys were great.
And that will work. I'm telling you, you'll never have to work another day in your life.
Oh, yeah.
This is the best thing that ever happened to you.
I can retire.
Yeah. You'll be driving a Lincoln, man. See you later.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, man.
There's a silver cloud.
There's a silver cloud.
Silver cloud to every lining. Whew.
While you've wasted an otherwise perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk, our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical spiritual and menu advisor, just back from the West Madras, striped bass, lemongrass, demitasse, pheasant under glass, cooking glass, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marjorie Novera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our parts inventory manager is Wayne DeBack. Our audience counter is Hugh Wake. Our tolerance quality control guy is Nat Sass. Our director of staff promotions is Anita Butkus. Our director of grad student transportation is Iona Heap. Our rafting guide is Euphrates Rapids. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our staff tailor is Hugh Jass. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the landlords scouring the streets for tenants in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And above all, don't drive or think like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Or think. That's getting serious.
You can get a podcast of this show, download other migraine-inducing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got an old car that's seen better days? Well, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now before your local neighborhood watch group labels your car an eyesore and plants geraniums in it. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though cardiologists everywhere say, pass the trans fat whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.